Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Sherlock, Season 4, Episode 3, The Final Problem. It's the series finale.
Therefore is The Final Problem. Which, you know, hey, they say just that name just for this. So, we are having our usual caveats, which include that there will be cursing, there will be spoilers, and we're having things to drink, like real alcohol type of things to drink, right? What are you having to drink, Natalie?
I'm having Underwood Rosé Bubbles.
And why did you choose Underwood Rosé Bubbles?
I don't know. It was in my fridge. I was very limited.
That's just sad. So I have made what I'm now going to call a Euros cocktail. And I have decided that this is a Euros cocktail because it has many elements of a hurricane. For those of you unfamiliar with the elements of a hurricane cocktail, which was made popular, is made popular by the Pat O'Briens in New Orleans, consists of white and dark rum, passion fruit juice, orange juice, lime juice, grenadine, simple syrup. That is your traditional hurricane. Because we have winds blowing in this case, or in this episode, I did what I could with it. So I have white rum, passion fruit juice, lime juice, and grenadine. And I have added some bubbles on top of it. So we have not only winds blowing, but we have bubbles bubbling up and things from the past and all of that, which I think is appropriate for this episode. So let's get started.
All right, let's get into Season 4, Episode 3, The Final Problem. A young girl is on a plane and everyone is asleep, including the pilots. She gets a call and it's Moriarty saying, "Hello, this is Jim Moriarty. Welcome to The Final Problem." So we cut over to Mycroft, who is watching a like film noir type.
Film noir with like so much double entendre is embarrassing.
But honestly, when I was watching him watch it, I was like, oh my god, he's me watching Pride and Prejudice 2005. Like, he's literally me just like, I want to feel something. I'm going to watch this movie. Because you have no idea how many times whenever I'm watching YouTube, and whenever sometimes it's free with ads on YouTube, which it's never when I want to show my friends, but whatever. But it kept coming up and I'm just like, I don't think I can handle the Pride and Prejudice 2005 right now. Like, this is not, like, I need to fully pay attention to the to that. So he's basically in a screening room. Oh, it's so good. But he's watching it in his screening room and he's like mouthing the words. It's so funny. And then the film starts like glitching out and being replaced with old family film footage saying, "I'm back."
And the family film footage is interesting because you see that Mycroft really did have a weight problem as a child. Mm-hmm. And you see that there are other people in this family film.
Yeah. And there's a clown, there's a little girl running around, there are portraits crying blood.
Yeah, this is in Mycroft's house. So he freaks out, he runs away from his little cinema room.
Also, his cane is a sword and a gun. That's hilarious to me.
I love it. It's kind of like Lucius Malfoy's.
Yes, it really is. It's just like a plot. You didn't think this was two things. It's actually three. It's very funny. And I came prepared.
Hilarious. But he starts dueling with the clown.
Well, he's about to, but then he realizes he didn't reload or something, or he doesn't have any bullets in his gun. And the clown looks like he's about to rumble, and he just runs away. And Sherlock pops out and he's like, "Sherlock, help me." And then Sherlock like calls everybody off and he's just like, "All right, everybody, here's your money. Don't spend it all in one crack den." And then he's just like, "So I have a secret sister." And yeah. John's like, "She shot me with a tranquilizer."
Yeah.
And so
and the whole time Mycroft's like, but I was doing everyone a kindness by lying about her.
Yeah. And then John tells Mycroft, "Well, if since you're scared, there's a place for you for the scared and the lonely and the desperate. It's 221 B Baker Street. And then he goes over there and they make him sit in the chair or else they're not going to talk to him, which is funny.
Mrs. Hudson tells him, you have to sit in the chair, otherwise, and you have to be a client, otherwise they won't talk to you.
Yeah. And so so they're talking and Mycroft is about to start talking about it, and he's just like, he's implying that John should leave, and Mycroft's like, this is family, and Sherlock says that's why he stays, which valid.
Amen,
he
does, bro.
And and Mycroft tells them that Eros was the youngest and the smartest of them. She was basically proclaimed a genius of the era, but she also was unwell, and she would hurt herself to see how her muscles work, because she's a very curious child who wanted to see how things worked, and she wanted to do experiments on things, including herself. And so Musgrave Hall is where they grew up, and there were these gravestones with incorrect dates. It's a whole thing. And they remember a song that she would sing. She was the one who took Redbeard and would only repeat the song when asked about where he is. And she started calling him Drowned Redbeard, which was an indication of what happened to Redbeard. And she started drawing Sherlock dying and set fire to Musgrave Hall.
Yeah.
Which got sent away by Uncle Rudy, their Uncle Rudy, who they've mentioned before. And then Mycroft says that and told their parents that she died, but she didn't die. And she's been in Sherringford ever since, which...
She went to this one place, this one home. She burned that down, and then she went to Sherringford.
Mm-hmm.
So not only did she burn their family home down, she burned down like the home for the children who are disturbed. she burned that down, and then they took her into Sherringford, and
which is essentially Alcatraz.
Right. The way Mycroft describes it is a island prison on the North Sea. And as he said, hell basically has a longitude and latitude. I mean, I can give you the address. So while they're standing there having this discussion, or while they're sitting there having this discussion, a drone flies in with a grenade. and they realize that it is a motion sensor grenade, that if they move, the whole thing's going to go off, but there's like nothing they can do. So they start making this plan, like, all right, Mrs. Hudson's downstairs, she's vacuuming, she's going to be done in a couple minutes and be in the closet. We've got to, like, me and John are going to go out the windows, Mycroft's going to run downstairs, and this way we might survive.
Mm-hmm. And then so they do, they run, and the bomb goes off and destroys the flat. Then we go over to a boat in the middle of the ocean. Two sailors hear Sherringford on the radio, but the senior guy tells the other to forget it. And then they hear a bang on the top of their boat, and it's Sherlock, and they're like, they're just like, who are you? And he's like, Sherlock Holmes. And the one guy's like, the detective? And he's like, no, the pirate. and then John takes out his gun and points it at them. And so John, they hijack the boat, living the pirate dream. They tied the sailors up on the shore. Written in the sand is, tell my sister I am here. And so the prisoner's governor tries to call Mycroft, but his colleague says that he was injured and is in the hospital, and that Sherlock is missing.
His colleague is played by the guy who, from Outlander.
Is it Dougal?
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so great. It's like the conservation of British Island.
Did you double check?
I don't have to.
Okay. Anyway.
I will if you want me to, but
no, yeah, it's all good. It's all good. I'll trust you on that one, because I was assuming that it was the guy that was the other agent that was in the room at the beginning of the season.
No, that guy.
He also looked familiar.
He does. I think he was the butler.
Crown?
No, the butler. Well, he might have been in The Crown also. But he was the butler from Parent Trap. The one with...
You're kidding.
No.
Oh my God, he was! Oh,
I miss
fucking
them.
love that Parent Trap. That is such a good movie.
I'm
Watch
just
the Parent Trap with Lindsay Lohan.
yes,
It's such a good movie.
it's like one of the best Lindsay Lohan things ever.
No, literally, it's the only Lindsay Lohan thing I
Oh,
watch.
and Freaky Friday's okay.
I like Freaky Friday too, but I love The Parent Trap. I
Yeah.
rewatch that and it makes me cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll start a podcast about The Parent Trap soon enough,
Really?
because
I
no,
don't
we won't.
know.
But we might have a podcast of me just ranting about it, and it might be this one. Anyway, he's Jarvis. That's awesome. Is his
Yeah.
name Jarvis? Yes, I think his name's Jarvis in that movie.
Yes.
So good. I'm actually, on that note, I've been watching Abbott Elementary, and the girl who plays Jessie, the kind of the equivalent to a butler for Dennis Quaid's character, she's in it. It's so funny to see her in a different light. It's so fun. Anyway,
Cool.
John and Mycroft are in dis and John and Mycroft, who's in disguise, are caught, and they're getting interrogated by the governor. And the Mycroft in disguise as a pirate, not as a pi as a sailor, he's just like calling John a pirate. He stole my boat, and then John just goes, "Yeah, I really am." He's just very casual about it. It's very funny. They are put in a holding cell, and the governor comes in, and he knows that it's Mycroft in disguise. He sends a guard to go check on Neros. He gives him his key card. It was actually Sherlock. That was the disguise that he wasn't anticipating. And I love that these guards' uniforms is like a beanie and a trench
It's like they're
coat. It's
sailors.
like,
It's like
why
they're
is that
sailors.
your guard uniform? Why is the beanie a part of this?
It
Anyway,
is.
Mycroft is angry at the governor for trying to have people come in and analyze Euros and allowing others to come and talk contact with her. And then Sherlock goes to her cell, which is this is split back and forth between Sherlock visiting Euros for the first time and knowing that it's Euros, and John Mycroft and the governor in the governor's office watching footage of Euros speaking to other people. And so Sherlock tries to talk to her about how she escaped, but she keeps saying to look at her, and that's her only clue. She gives him her Stradivarius violin, and then we go over to the governor. The governor says everyone they sent to talk to her got enslaved by her, essentially, by her suggestions. And the worst that happened was it got someone to kill himself and his family. And Sherlock starts playing Bach, and then she's like, "No, don't play Bach. You clearly don't understand it." Ah, Bach.
Not fuck.
And then she's like, "No, play you." And then he's like, "Okay." And then he starts playing his signature song that we were introduced to in the scandal in Belgravia, which prompts this question: "Ooh, have you had sex?"
It's like,
And then
holy shit.
he's just like, "Why do you ask?" And she's just like, "No, I've had sex. That sounds like you've had sex." And it's just very funny to me. Mycroft is upset that people talk to her alone against his instructions. He's the only one allowed to talk to her alone because he knows what he's doing. And the governor says that that Mycroft brought her a Christmas gift one year, and she's never been the same. She was never the same after that. Mycroft says that Euros reprograms people, and anyone who has talked to her is immediately compromised. John is trying to get Sherlock to back down because he's worried that Sherlock's going to be susceptible to this. He basically says Vatican cameos, and Sherlock's like, "Not right now." And
Well, right. And it's interesting because John's really listening. And he's really listening to these recordings.
we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
Sherlock is tempted into stepping closer to the glass, which you're supposed to stay 3 feet away from. He's tempted by her talking about their childhood, and she was just like, "I used to make you laugh. I once made you laugh all night, but then I was like, you know what?" And then my parents were like, "No, you got it wrong. He was crying, screaming, really." And it was because of Redbeard. And she starts tempting him forward, and he's just like, "I know what happened to Redbeard." And she's like, "Do you now? Do you know what happened to Redbeard? I don't know if you do." And John, because he at this point he's mentioned that he doesn't remember anything about Euros, and she's like, "So interesting. Mycroft mentioned that you kind of reprogrammed your memories so that you wouldn't remember me, but that's so interesting." And John tells Mycroft to listen to the tape and it's the governor's voice, which means that he's been compromised, and the governor sets off the alarm. And so Euros is telling Sherlock, hey, touch the glass. I'll touch it if you're scared. I'll touch it. And that's when he realized there isn't any glass. And she, which again, surprising that he never figured that out, but sure. And she attacks him and knocks him out. John starts to get away from the guards who are swarming in and taking Mycroft, but they hear Moriarty's voice over the loudspeaker and see his video on his image on the TVs, and John gets knocked out. Then we go over to back by a Christmas day 5 years ago, and it's Moriarty arriving in a helicopter to Queen's I Want to Break Free. And
I want to break free. This scene
I love it so much.
is so great. And Andrew Scott,
Fucking love him.
yeah,
There's
he's
this
just
line,
so
there's so
great.
many lines.
He's so great.
He comes into the governor's office and Mycroft's there, and he's like, what am I doing here? And Mycroft says, you're a Christmas present. And he's like, how do you want me?
Yeah,
And then
it's like I'm here for you, right?
apparently Euros requested 5 minutes unsupervised with Moriarty as a treat to give the government her predictions about major terrorist attacks, which is essentially what they've been using her for.
Right, because
And
she has been able, like, after just however many minutes on Twitter, been able to like predict like the last three major ones or whatever.
yeah, and the reason why she knows about Moriarty is because she's interested in Sherlock, and he's just like, so what does she have to do with Sherlock Holmes? Whatever you tell me, I know it's going to be awesome. It's just so funny. I love him so much. I also love that he had this information, but he never used it against Sherlock. He just had it in his back pocket, but he never brought it up, which honestly would seem like a plot hole, but honestly, Moriarty, that sounds like Moriarty to me, because he was setting up for the long game to really fuck him over now. And so John wakes up, and him, Sherlock, Mycroft, and the governor are locked in Euros's cell, but with actual glass around them. Over the speakers, they are connected to a phone call with the little girl from the beginning. Euros interrupts them, and Euros says that she will make them do puzzles for more time with the little girl and try to help the little girl, which will be their overall objective for this section of the episode, essentially. She also reveals that she has the governor's wife tied up, and she says that she will kill her if either my unless Mycroft or John kill the governor. And Mycroft's like, I can't do that. I'm not gonna have blood on my hands. Absolutely not.
Yes,
And
Mycroft.
the governor begs John to do it, but John, in the end, he just can't. He there's it's a
He
great scene.
tries. He really tries.
He really is about to, and then he realizes he can't do it. And they even talk about, are you married? And he's like, yes. And she died. And then the governor's like, well, then you know why I have to do this. Would you not give anything to for her to be alive? And so he can't do it. So the governor takes the gun and shoots himself in the head and says, remember me. And Euros kills the wife anyway because it was against the rules, and criticizes John's moral code because, in a way, he has more blood on his hands than he did before. If he just killed the one person, the other one would have survived. But no, now two people are dead, needlessly. And
Well, and here's the thing that's so fucked up about Euros is like she's trying to teach these lessons in amorality, right? And it's like, oh my God, you can definitely take this logic thing too far, can't you?
it's also an interesting thought experiment, and it made me start thinking about, like, if I were in that situation, would I be able to do it? Because I'm very much in the Mycroft camp of, I don't want blood on my hands. I don't want to be responsible for all that. And she says this to John because he was the one who's most likely about to do it. But it's really true on Mycroft too. The blood is on his hands too because he wouldn't do it. And I think that I like, here's the thing about Euros. I think that it's really dumb that we are using her as like, oh yeah, by the way, Sherlock completely forgot he had a sister. We're gonna completely forget that, even though these are formative years and he's older than her, that he knew her at all. He doesn't remember her. He doesn't remember what happened. He barely remembers what happened with Redbeard, all that stuff. And I'm just like, okay, sure. fine, whatever. Trauma response, sure. Why not? But it's a whole person, but fine. sure, I'll buy into that, sure. But what I really like about Eros is that she is bringing up these little things like that, and she's doing it in such a sadistic way. Like, there's a moment when she first meets Moriarty, she's just like, I'm your Christmas present. And then they just kind of, like, do a snake-like mating dance kind of weird shit. Like,
we're on a level. Glass,
and I'm just like, you have 5 minutes. Are you really going to spend it doing this? But in the 5 minutes, she clearly was able to get him to, like, record all of this bullshit so that she can create an ambiance and an environment that is so awful for Sherlock. Yeah. During this time, and she has planned like a billion moves ahead. It's so funny to me. She's such an interesting addition to this, of just like, she's an interesting final boss for them because she's just so above it all in a way. And she's not like an object of complete chaos like Moriarty. She's not like she is chaotic, but I think that it's a chaos that is more specified to who they are as people and more like zeroed in on them, and it's a way for her to test their limits as people, and having them be like lab rats in the situation. This is very much a Moriarty move. If he were still alive, he would definitely be helping this, and he is in a way from the dead doing that, but like it's just funny. But then they go into another room and take the gun that has one more bullet left from the governor, and she's like, you might need it later, hint hint. Mm-hmm. And so they get reconnected with the girl, but she's really not helpful. Literally anytime she, like, there's a call with the girl, it really is not helpful. She's a young child, she's not going to give any useful information. Like, they're like, so where'd you take off from? My nan's. Where are you going? Home. And it's just like, okay, well, that's not helpful at all.
Well, right. And they spend a lot of the call time reassuring her,
yeah, because she keeps saying, reiterating that she's scared, she doesn't know why anyone's not waking up, which again, she's a child, it makes sense, but at the same time it's like, you don't know how much time you have with this girl, you need to hurry up a little bit. But yeah. So they're given a new puzzle,
yeah, and the new and again, you know, this escape room element is just extra sadistic. But they go into the next room. The puzzle is, hey, one of these guys killed somebody, and
they're brothers, and they killed their father,
right? And they did it with this, you know, it's not a sniper rifle, but it's a long distance shot that was taken. They had access to this gun. Which of them did it? And they do all this deductive reasoning to figure out which did it.
Can I just say, there are some lines from Eros that are so funny to me, just because of the sadistic way that she's saying it. She always likes to add like emotional context to things because she thinks of things so scientifically, because she doesn't think of emotions. She's, because even from a young child, she's just like, which one's pain, which one's this? She can't really, she's not like functioning at the same level as a lot of other people. She doesn't know even
what the senses
are. She compartmentalizes things very interestingly, and so she, the way she's saying this, like, she's like, all right, time to add a little bit of context. And the three brothers, like, are hanging, like, from the roof of the room or whatever.
Yeah.
And over the sea, they're all tied up. And she's like, you convict the person, I'll drop them in the sea. And she's like, sink or swim. And then John says, they're tied up. And she's like, exactly. Now there's context. It's so fucked up. It's so funny to me, though. It's just, I love this actress. Like, the way she's saying these lines is very funny to me, of her just being like, exactly, now there's context. Don't worry about it. Now there's context. It's
that same kind of sing-songy, I'm talking down to you, John Watson, that we got.
Exactly.
And it's like, let me tweak your face. It's like, God, fuck you.
Yeah, essentially.
So they make these deductions, and they determine which brother did it. She drops the two that were not convicted into the sea, And they're like, but wait, you know, that this is the one you said that, you know, the bad guy you were gonna drop into the scene. And she's like, innocent or guilty, does it matter? They're all dead. And then so she drops the one that was guilty.
And then she goes, no, that's felt about the same.
Yeah. It's funny, but it's not.
Oh, it's the most fucked up thing ever. Like, it truly is so fucked up. Like, those two guys didn't do anything. They didn't kill their father, but they were thrown into the sea. And then when she, I love that, but I do love her being like, no, that felt the same. It felt about the same. I don't know what to tell you.
Because she has zero moral compass.
Literally nothing. Literally. And she, so they go into the next room and it has a coffin and they, and they also decide what
coffin. It sounded like you said convent, so I was like,
no, I said coffin.
just checking.
No, so they also get a little more time with the girl. They decide they're probably going to have to land the plane in the sea. They're going to have to talk her through it, but they still don't have enough time to do that in an effective way, so they're cut off. And they are Sherlock's trying to make deductions about whose coffin this is, and Mycroft looks at the lid and it says, I love you. And so, and John immediately is like, Irene Adler. Yeah. I love the message to Irene this entire time. And then Sherlock looks at it and he's like, no, look at it. No, of course it's not hers. Look at it.
Well, right. And he starts going through like how much it cost and the size. And all of a sudden he realizes, oh, I know.
It's somebody who loves me. It's somebody who's practical about death. It's a low price range. It's Molly Hooper. Mm-hmm. And so Euros says that she has rigged explosives in Molly's flat to go off in 3 minutes unless Sherlock makes Molly say, I love you. And he cannot indicate if he's in that he's in danger or she's in danger. And so she initially ignores him, but then when the call eventually connects, he's trying to talk to her and he's just like, can you do this one thing for me, please? And she's clearly not having a good day. So this is the worst possible time for this to happen. And so she has trouble doing it because it's true. And she confesses that it's true and it's always been true. And she says she'll only say it if Sherlock says it to her and means it and like he means it. And so he does. And in many ways, I think that regardless of if it's romantic or platonic or whatever however you want to interpret this scene, it is true that he loves Molly.
Yeah,
of course. And if it wasn't true, he wouldn't be so desperate to save her.
Exactly. And he wouldn't have this much trouble saying those words to her, knowing what they mean to her.
Right.
And I think it is platonic, but at the same time, and we can discuss that later, but, I do have it as one of best or worst, and so I will want to talk about it later, but I think that it wouldn't be this hard if he didn't care. And right. So she does eventually, at the very last second, as always, of course it was the very last second, she does say, I love you. And Euros is like, oh yeah, no, there wasn't a bomb. Why would I be so clumsy? Of course there's not a bomb in there.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be that cruel. I wouldn't be, yeah, it's like, oh my
god. Seriously. And then Sherlock, and she's just like, but you were so interesting. Look at what you did to her. You ruined her life. And then Sherlock puts the lid on the coffin and then just starts completely shattering it. Like, just completely, like, he gets so upset, so viscerally upset, because he knows that I think that over time, Sherlock,
you can't go back from that. It's like your deepest secret. You can't go back from that.
I think the thing is that Sherlock I think he realized this in the second season in particular, how much Molly means to him. In one way or another, she means a ton to him. And so putting her through that and putting himself through that, it truly does hurt.
Right. And I think we can talk about, and maybe we should save it to the end.
Yeah, we can save it till the end.
But the Sherlock and Molly relationship is a very interesting one. So anyway, proceed.
And so John goes over to Sherlock, and there's been this running thing of John saying that we need to be soldiers today. We're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing it for other people to stay alive. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been working very well so far, but you know, that's the mentality. And so Sherlock gets up and they go into the next room and it's completely empty. and Sherlock has to decide who to kill, John or Mycroft. Mycroft starts going on a tirade about, oh, come on, why is this even hard? Kill John. And John just like says nothing because, to a certain degree, in John's position, he thinks it makes a lot of sense for him to die in that moment because, even with the comment at the beginning of this episode of he is family, Mycroft is actually his brother. They have known each other for longer than Sherlock and John have. Even if they have a fucked up relationship, it's still a relationship. They're brothers. There's always going to be some love there. And so Mycroft starts like demeaning John and him just being like, oh, come now, please. This isn't hard. Just kill him. And John is just like, I guess he's right. And then Sherlock's just like, no, don't. It's not true. Mycroft's just trying to make it easy for me to kill Mycroft. And John looks surprised at that because I think John and Mycroft's relationship is such an interesting one as well. And I probably will want to talk about this later, but he has worked so closely with Mycroft in the past few seasons, especially season two, of like him being like a surrogate Sherlock in a way of like him running off and doing all these little tasks for Mycroft, like solving a new case for him or whatever. And their relationship is so interesting because John essentially fills in like the brother role that Sherlock needs with actual like emotion, whereas Mycroft is just kind of like there, cold, calculating, like not really a part of it. But in this moment, I really like Mycroft in this episode. It's an interesting dive into his character.
Right. He, because he's doing the whole reverse psychology thing
He
on
is.
Sherlock. He is
And Sherlock
huge.
knows.
And Sherlock knows. And one of the things that Mycroft, and it is a joke in this episode that he had, Mycroft had played someone called Mrs. Bascom in some play. And
Lady Bracknell in The
Lady Bracknell.
Importance of Being Earnest.
Fun. And I
Because
do
it
love Oscar Wilde. But yes.
I actually haven't read that and or seen.
It's great. And it's also a great, I think there was a movie.
There is a movie with Winona Ryder in it. And
There's not Minnie Driver, I thought. Is Minnie Driver in that? I don't know.
I don't know, but I should watch it at some point.
Yeah,
But
it is a great play. Oscar Wilde, again, has that facility with language that we see in this show, and it's a brilliant callback to Oscar
Yeah,
Wilde. But
just sorry, really quickly, just filling in this little Lady Bracknell thing. Since essentially when they were stuck standing still during because the motion sensor grenade, they were the John's like quotes Oscar Wilde or something, and he says, oh, it's from The Importance of Being Earnest, and Mycroft's like, yes, I know, we did that in school too. I was Lady Bracknell. And
Of course
Sherlock's
you
like, you
were.
were great in that role. And Mycroft's like, really? I always thought I would be. I've always wanted to be sure that it was true.
Well,
And
so back. I'm
then
sorry.
when they get caught, John's like, you should be glad that he went with the sailor guy because I deterred him from doing Lady Bracknell. This could have gone very differently.
And so it comes up again in this scene where Sherlock's like, oh,
Your Lady Bracknell was more convincing.
Right. And Mycroft's like, oh, really? Because he was clearly trying to put his all into it.
He was
And
doing a good job, I thought.
I thought so too. I mean, he is good at being an asshole, so certainly.
Yeah, he is great being an asshole. But there,
Yeah.
Sherlock, it, the way sh I love the way Sherlock put this of like, he's trying to make it easier for me to kill him, which makes it even harder because now he knows that Mycroft's heart is actually in the right place and he knows how much John means to him to know that he's the one, the expendable one in this situation. And acknowledging that, and so I'm sure that makes Sherlock feel even worse about their relationship. But so Sherlock decides that he's not going to shoot anyone. If anyone, he's going to shoot himself. And he's like, "I'm going to remember the governor." And then he puts the gun underneath his chin, and they start counting down from 10. And Euros starts freaking out. But also before that, sorry, Euros is, I love seeing Euros in the little screens on the like walls because she just like is leaning in really close and she when Sherlock is starting to consider shooting Mycroft. And this is at the point, this is the point where Mycroft tells them what her Christmas present was. It was 5 minutes alone with Moriarty. And Sherlock is just like, 5 minutes to do this to us? Are you fucking kidding me? It only took them 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And to completely tear ourselves apart, that's insane. And so I would love to see the brainstorming session, that 5 minutes of them, that would have been insane. Yeah. Anyway, but he
literally
uh-huh. Yeah, but
I do. Andrew Scott had so many good lines first coming in because he was,
I was about to say,
because he talks about, oh, the smell of criminal insanity. Do you have any cannibals?
And then he like yells, he just whistles into like a hallway, and that you he can hear the cannibals going crazy like animals in a cage. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. But yeah, so also Andrew Scott has a lot of random like little intercut like video clips that he added for like atmosphere, like TikTok. And go Euros, you go girl. And there's also this one because he assumed that Sherlock would make this choice, and so it's a clip of him saying Holmes killing Holmes. What an interesting turn of events. And so Sherlock is,
yeah, he's like, I'm not gonna do that. Yeah. I'm not gonna do what Moriarty wants, that motherfucker.
Yeah, I think that really like pushed him over the edge of like, I'm not doing that shit. Yeah. And so then Euro starts freaking out, and then she like hits both him and John with a tranquilizer. Mm-hmm. And they get knocked out.
Well, and so, also hit Mycroft.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, we don't see it, but yeah. I assume so.
Sherlock, and they awaken later.
Well, Sherlock awakens alone in a cell and talks to the little girl on the plane again. It's been hours. I don't know why they're still up in the plane, but they are. Anyway, he talks to John.
A long time, because they you got the impression that they were very close to the city when it was going to crash.
Yeah, she was up in the sea for a while, but then it's been hours now. I'm like, what the fuck? Anyway, yeah. He talks to John via an earpiece, and John is chained up in a well standing on bones, which isn't great. And Sherlock is immediately like, those are dog bones, that's Redbeard, oh fuck. And so, and also the plane is getting close to the city, and
it's clearly London, because the girl describes it. There's a
river,
but there's a Ferris wheel kind of thing, and mm-hmm. there's a big wheel and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
closer, and she's scared because the airplane's shaking, and
mm-hmm. so, and yeah. Then Sherlock realizes the cell that he's in isn't real, and there wouldn't be a well at Sherringford. That makes no fucking sense. And mm-hmm. so he basically tears down the cell, and he's back home at Musgrave Hall. And he runs into the house, and Euros has a TV there saying, okay, well, you need to solve the case of Redbeard. your original case. You fucking failed the last
the
time.
Mystery.
Let's see what happens now.
Yeah.
And
she's singing her song and all that stuff.
The song that she had been singing before when she was younger, whenever asked about Redbeard.
The song. It's all in the song.
And water starts rushing in, and John is in danger of drowning. And Sherlock gets really overwhelmed with the need to save both John and the girl in the plane, and he's freaking out. John also tells Sherlock, and she's like, and Euros in the meantime is like, here comes the emotional context. And John tells Sherlock that it's not dog's bones, it was a child. And Redbeard was actually Sherlock's best friend, and he was Yellowbeard when they were playing pirates, and Sherlock was Redbeard, or no, sorry, he was
no,
Redbeard.
The other way around. Yeah.
Sherlock was Yellowbeard, and Euros wanted to play with them because she didn't have a best friend and felt left out, so she put the kid in a well, and he died.
Yeah. This is the reason we know you are not just a sociopath, you're a psychopath.
Every time it gets to that part of the little boy in the well saying, please let me out, it breaks my heart. I'm just like, he's an adorable little boy. And I'm like, no.
I mean, and the idea, like, see, well, I'm going to talk about it, but the way they make this sound like, well, it's understandable.
No, it's not. And so Sherlock starts realizing the song is like a cipher with the gravestone dates. And mm-hmm. so he starts like mapping out the song into the words. And it basically tells him to go to Euros's room. So he runs up, and we also see the little girl on the plane, and Sherlock comes bursting in on the plane, and he's like, I'm your brother. And it's Euros' mind palace. Okay. This is the part where the episode loses me.
Around this time is where they completely lose me. Euros is basically rocking back and forth in the fetal position. And Sherlock tells her, oh, this is such a brilliant analogy, a brilliant metaphor for you are above us all and seeing all of these things, but needless, I can save you. You need to be with us. And she's, crying and talking about how kind he is or something. And it's kind of like, okay.
This is still not okay.
No,
Then
it's
that didn't
not.
tell you where Redbeard was.
No, but eventually, I guess they save John. She's taken off somewhere, and there are repercussions for Mycroft with his parents for having lied to.
Well, oh, you're skipping a little bit with Lestrade that I love.
Where he's
Lestrade
up to
tells
Craig.
first, yeah. Lestrade tells John and Sherlock that Mycroft was just locked in Euros's cell, which I will talk about later, how I feel about that. Sherlock, it's poetic justice in a way, but I'll talk about it later. Sherlock calls Greg by his name and he's impressed. A cop goes up to Greg and says, well, Sherlock's a great man. And Lestrade says, he's better than that. He's a good one. Calling back to the pilot, which I love.
Which is also a little bit like Captain Jack Sparrow being, he's a good man. He's a pirate and a good man.
And so, yeah, I then Sherlock feels guilty for not being able to bring Euros home, but she's not stable enough for that shit. But then Mycroft, ever, you, sorry, continue. Mycroft is telling the parents.
So Mycroft is telling their parents, and they're furious, of course. They're like, look, it's our daughter. We need to know she was alive, which I agree with that. And they're like, when can we see her? And he's like, oh, never. It's never going to be safe. But this is all intercut with Sherlock having a violin. And what Mycroft is saying is, like, she's not able to communicate verbally anymore, blah, blah, blah. And we see that Sherlock takes his violin and is able to play with her, and because both of them, and I will say this, she's a much better violin player than he is.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah, like she's brilliant. Whoever's playing for her is brilliant.
Crazy. And I like it when you first meet Euros in the cell, she's playing the violin, and Sherlock says, that's beautiful. And she's like, oh, I don't know if it's beautiful, just if it's right. Which is interesting.
Except that, right for musician.
Yeah. It's a.
There's nuance, there's emotion in the
And there in music and singing, there are a lot of different things.
way.
It's like you can be hitting notes, but you can be hitting them in a different way each time. It's
Well, and
different.
you get harmonics and all, there's a lot. There's a
There's a
lot
lot to it.
going on. Anyway, so that did I miss anything? That's pretty much
No, John and Sherlock are cleaning up the blown up flat. Mary had another video sent to the flat saying
all right.
that she knows they can do amazing things, and it doesn't matter how messed up they are as people, they are doing amazing work.
So yeah, the video that she sent this time is marked Miss You, not Miss Me. And so what she does, she talks about it. This is all about the legend, it's all about the stories, it's all about the adventures. And I know you, my Baker Street boys, basically.
They keep solving cases and taking care of Rosie, and which is so fucking cute. I
It
love the
is.
addition of the baby and the toddler into this because, like, Sherlock is holding her and he's like, oh, look, it's daddy. And then he gives it to John. It's so fucking cute. And we also see, like, different people coming in, like, Mrs. Hudson comes in and sprays some Febreze. Molly comes in and she's about to, like, have tea with them or something like that. And Lestrade comes in frazzled, like, needing help with a case. It's all the classic things that we're expecting. We oh,
I also
and
see them
then,
running out through,
well, and the
so
Holmes
good.
family watched Sherlock and Euros playing together. So they did get to at least see their daughter again, which is nice. And so, yeah, that's the end of the show.
But the last shot is them,
Running out of a
kind of
random
Batman and
place.
Robin running out.
Very Batman and Robin.
And it's a little bit like, okay, we didn't need
A little
that.
bit.
But what were your best parts of this episode?
Andrew Scott, holy shit.
Yes.
He's such a win. I love him coming literally Let me explain how he gets out of this fucking helicopter. He's listening to I Want to Break Free. He steps out of the helicopter, jumps, and does like a pop star kind of like, oh, yes, that's me. I'm the one.
Want to
I'm
break
Mr.
free.
Sex. He's
Yes.
literally going, I'm Mr. Sex. It's so
Yeah.
fucking funny. I love him so
Yeah.
much.
Yep.
And his little interjections throughout, I'm just like, I'm so glad they were able to weave him into this without him being alive. Like, it would have been such, and I didn't mention this in the first episode of the fourth season, but I love that they keep him dead. That's not a fake death. That's a real death. But he was able to set all this bullshit up to inconvenience Sherlock if he stayed alive.
Yeah.
That's so fucking funny to me.
Yeah.
He just wants to be an inconvenience at every point. John, I see. The three things I'm going to say: John, Sherlock, and Mycroft. I think that their dynamic as a trio is so interesting, and we haven't really seen it a lot. We've seen a little
True.
bit of it. But
They're
getting to
not in the
see,
same room a lot. That's
yeah,
fair.
seeing it contained like this and seeing the dynamics between, especially Sherlock's dynamic with each of them being different, and Mycroft's dynamic with John, it's just very, very interesting to me. And I think that they did it in an interesting way of doing it like a lab rat situation where they are isolated and they have to address certain moral issues, certain trying to prove their like abilities and like their usefulness because they might be killed later. And it's just interesting. And John being like, well, sorry, but we have to be soldiers today. That's how it is. And so, and there is a moment when they're solving like the son's case or whatever, where Mycroft's like, that this is insane. And then Sherlock and John are both like, yeah, we know, but we have to move on and we have to continue to do this because even how regardless of how crazy this is, we have to solve this case.
Right, because they get their hands dirty. They're
Yeah.
the two in this group that get their hands dirty.
Yeah, Mycroft's usually a
Not
delegator,
that, yeah.
but also he has his moment of being able to be like, I'm going to sacrifice myself for the betterment of you guys being able to get shit done.
Yeah.
Even if he's the British government. The Molly thing is very interesting. I find Sherlock and Molly's relationship extremely fascinating because whenever I don't think it's a romantic thing. I really don't. And I think
No.
that's what they're hinting at in this of it is one-sided on Molly's part, but Sherlock, it doesn't mean Sherlock doesn't care about her. I love the emphasis on a platonic friendship on his end. Even if Molly still has the crush on him and all that stuff.
Here's the thing, and I'm sorry, I'll
No,
let
go ahead.
you finish your thought. So, Sherlock and Molly, I feel like there is a possibility of something basic and normal, romantic even between the two of them. But Sherlock knows how damaging that would be to her, because he can't stop being Sherlock, right?
Right. And it would just hurt her.
Right. But I think that they both know that it is platonic, but it's platonic by choice.
Yeah.
There is the potential for romantic love there, and that's not always true,
Right. And they both recognize it, Molly more so, just because she's willing to go there.
right.
She doesn't recognize the implications of what a relationship with Sherlock would be like. Because it would be
But she
much like their current working relationship with him kind of coming in and going out and coming in and going out and not being able to commit a lot of time to her. And she definitely deserves better than that. But
Right.
she also still loves him. And I think that he also recognizes that she could also be a romantic love interest. But he, first of all, doesn't really compute with his head in general. Like, Irene Adler is literally throwing herself at him. This gorgeous woman is throwing herself at him, and he's even like, eh.
Yeah, but Irene Adler is lust. I mean,
Oh,
she,
pure lust.
yeah.
It would
And
be
of course,
funny if it was love,
yeah.
but
But and it's lust with that overlay of,
respect.
respect, but not, it is not romantic love. It's not that level of depth.
No. But it's funny though. I love it whenever they bring up
Oh,
Irene.
yeah, of course.
It's so fucking funny. But with the Molly thing, I like that this episode tests their relationship in a way that acknowledges it, acknowledges the love that's there. And Sherlock recognizing immediately, like even when John is immediately goes to Irene Adler being the one who loves him, he immediately goes to, no, it's Molly. And so it's not like he's been oblivious this whole time. No. He knows he's not an idiot. No. He is sometimes emotionally unavailable and all that stuff, but he is not dumb. He knows that Molly cares for him. He has known since Scandal in Belgravia when she came in for Christmas. And it's just, it's interesting to see how that's dissected in this episode. Because Molly has not been used to her fullest potential in this season.
No.
She has been a babysitter this entire time. And she was used a little bit more in season three. I think she was used to her fullest potential in season two.
Probably true, yeah.
Which is a shame, but...
She's a great actress. She does.
She is a great actress.
And I think she has brought to this role things that no one expected.
I agree.
What else? Any other good things?
I didn't write anything down, but I would also like to say Euros's mind tricks. I think that it's interesting that Euros, it's coming from a very fucked up place. I'm not going to deny that. But I find the thought experiments that it poses very interesting. Kind of like what Culverton Smith was doing in the last episode of like, what if a serial killer had all this power? What if they also kind of wanted to get caught, wanted to be like known for that, wanted to be recognized for it? I think that she poses a lot of interesting moral dilemmas, like a lot of trolley problems in a way. Mm. And she's just testing them. And she's testing everyone's morals. And she's even testing the audience's morals in a way. Because it even made me think, if I were in that situation, what would I do? Yeah. And do I accept that nothing, whatever I say doesn't really matter to her, that she's going to kill everyone anyway? Or do I try to at least like save one person or whatever? It's interesting. I think the
and those decisions, those things define who you are, not they don't define the external source. So it is an interesting, and of course, you know, people don't like to talk about theological questions, but those factor in here too, philosophical and theological questions. So they are. Are you done with your first? All right. So my best parts, what I wrote down, were Andrew Scott, you know. He's fabulous. I love Mycroft in this episode. I think it is probably the best use of Mycroft that we have seen.
I agree.
You know, we've had some good stuff, but it's really, this is exceptional. I did not write down the other things. I want to talk about worst parts, and then maybe we can discuss some of those. So what are your worst parts?
This is one of the bigger worst parts that I have, which is Mycroft not being in the final puzzle. I think that sidelining him in that final red beard thing is a mistake, because it also lends
He had to have known.
He did not.
Was missing. Yeah.
His memories weren't tampered with in any way. Like, he did know that Sherlock was mourning a dog when it was actually a human being, which I hate to tell you dog people, but that is different.
I agree.
Wildly different. That child had parents who were probably looking for him. And also Sherlock lost a best friend. It is completely different. Yeah. And so I don't like Mycroft being sidelined in the last act of this episode, because as much as it is John and Sherlock's story, they have integrated Mycroft, and he's so essential to this part of the story of their past in such an interesting way. I wish he was put in, not necessarily even as a helper to Sherlock, but an added stressor maybe. Like maybe like he's in danger in some way as well, because again, Sherlock couldn't decide between him and John. Why not put pressure from all sides? Yeah. And so I think him just being locked in Euros' cell is such a waste. And I think that after all this time, Euros would want better revenge on Mycroft than just throwing him in her cell. She has been doing so much fucked up shit. I'm not saying kill Mycroft. However, she's been doing such fucked up shit this entire episode that in the final act, She puts John in a well at risk for dying, Sherlock in an impossible position on a case that he has not been able to solve, and Mycroft, who should be held accountable for not telling Sherlock that it is a child and not a dog, and that Euros even existed, and locking Euros up for years on end without escape, until now. Like, why isn't Mycroft more involved in this?
And so, you know, it makes you feel like, it makes you question, like, why is she so fixated on Sherlock? Is it because mm-hmm. Sherlock actually has friends? Like, he has John as a friend.
Right.
And Mycroft, of course, has no friends.
Also, she keeps blaming Sherlock for having friends. It's like, Mycroft didn't play with you either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why did you not kill something he loved?
Or
I don't know.
Parents, or, you know, like, there's a lot of fixation for her on Sherlock that is not as logical as they try to make it out to be.
Yeah, she just latched on to him for some reason. Just maybe it's because they're closer in age, but I still think that it's bizarre.
I think that's weak. It's weak for someone who is supposed to be as mentally intelligent as she is.
Yeah.
Next
one, trauma blocked sister. How does that happen? I know memories are a fickle thing. I blocked things out too, but I don't block
everyone out. You know blocked her out.
Yeah, literally, your parents never talked to you about your sister.
Bullshit.
Like, your parents just stopped talking about her. Like, they would ever forget their child who was sent away. Like, they, yes, they thought she died, but they wouldn't, like, celebrate her birthday with, like, a memorial of some kind. Like, anything.
Bullshit.
Literally anything.
Because, like, especially for his parents, because his parents are supposed to be normal.
Yeah.
Right?
What the fuck are they doing? Why are they not talking about this? Sherlock just completely ignoring, and same, not just mentally trauma-blocked sister, trauma-blocked best friend dying. Like, are you kidding? You thought it was a dog? That's so insulting to that kid's memory. He wasn't a fucking dog. He wasn't something that you could just leave alone. That is a child, a human being who was killed because she got bored and she thought that you weren't paying enough attention to her. We'll get to that in a second. Mind Palace girl on the plane. That's actually bullshit. I don't understand it. I never understood it. It is definitely a worst part for me because how does that work? Like, yes, she's pretty good at voices, but she doesn't sound like a little girl. She doesn't sound like that little girl either. I get the idea that they're going for, but for her to be, like, if they had cut all of the little...
For Sherlock to be, like, actually deceived by this. Sorry.
Yeah. I think that if they had cut all the little girl on the plane and they just kept the puzzle and he still found her, like, curled up, like, in a fetal position, rocking back and forth, being like, I'm alone in the sky, I'm doing all this stuff, that would be fine. Yeah. But for them to make it seem like there's actually a girl up in a plane for hours on end with no pilots, they made it seem like pilots do nothing. Pilots do plenty. They have to go to school and they have to work at it. They are good at what they do. Don't diminish the fact that the pilots are asleep. Anyway, then trying to justify child homicide with loneliness. That's not that's not okay. I think that they're trying to give her a motivation, and I think a motivation enough for her, and I think she is fixated on Sherlock for no reason. I think she should be fixated on Mycroft for keeping her in a cell for years and telling her parents that she died. I think that would be something, but I think that
here's the other part of it is, like, she keeps saying that Sherlock's the nicest of them. Like,
in what way?
Reason to torture him? That's
yeah. You're nicer. Logic? Okay. Well, then stop killing my friends. And it's like of all the things to do, don't kill my friends, and I'll be even nicer to you.
Yeah.
Imagine that. But I think that I think that them trying to be like, I never had a best friend. It's like, don't try to justify that. And then Sherlock coming in and being like, obviously he's treating her with kid gloves and all that stuff, trying to, like, calm her down and all that stuff. She's kind of reverted back to a childlike state, which I think makes a lot of sense for how she has been raised, or the lack of raising, or just being in a cell isolated. I think that makes a lot of sense for her. But at the same time, him just being like, it's okay, don't worry about it, but please tell me where my friend is. It's like, no, there should be a little bit more urgency here, Sherlock. John is drowning. Like, yeah, that's not great.
Yeah, it's not. So my worst parts, and I phrase it more broadly, but the inconsistencies of everything involving Euros. And what and why are we supposed to be sympathetic towards her? It's like I don't love that. I actually really don't love the mini games. It's a little Squid Game to me. It's a little escape room. It's just a little simplistic.
Sure.
I'm not against the idea of making it, like showing the extremes of, criminality, right? Like, we take this thought process to its extreme. And I think that's what this entire season has been for Sherlock. But and maybe again, you got to beat some people over the head with the fact that, hey, killing kids is bad. Like, you
I
actually
hope you don't have
have
to do
to
that.
tell people that shit? I mean, come on. But again, to make it into this intellectual exercise, I think sanitizes it in a way that makes it, TV easy consumption. And I don't like that much like I didn't like the, oh, well, the establishment says it's okay to kill people thing in the second episode. It's like, no, we don't.
Yeah, I think that Sherlock in many ways is pretty sanitized when you think about it. Yes, it deals with a lot of heavy topics, but it's not like you see a lot of the blood and gore. It's not like you, because just off the top of my head, like the blind banker episode, you just see Su Lin Yao's hand with the lotus in it, which is a powerful image. It's not like you needed to see a girl bloodied or anything like that. You don't need to see that. But I think that in this episode in particular, you needed to see the gore and the awfulness, because
The grit, yeah.
Mycroft even throws up, or nearly throws up, when the governor shoots himself in the head,
Yeah, you're
and
in a tiny space, and one of these people has to
with
kill
blood going down the glass. It is a powerful image, is very interesting, but I think you need to see more of, like, I'm not saying see like a time lapse of the child dying in the well or something, but you need to make that impact. And I think they did a pretty okay job with the shot of the little kid in that, which I didn't expect them to actually do, the little
the
kid in the
well.
well begging to get out.
Yeah.
It's horrifying. I feel like they needed to emphasize that more than her action, than her being like, but I was lonely. It's like,
Right. I
no.
would like to see a couple of shots of that, a couple of echoes of that, a
Yeah.
couple of times, because the horror isn't there. It's
Maybe the
like
little girl
they,
pushing him
so
in.
right. So they emphasize the horror to her. They don't emphasize the horror to the actual victims. And
Sherlock lost his best friend to this person, and he's trying to comfort her. And I think it's not victim blaming by any means, but it certainly isn't okay.
it is victim blaming to me, but I just feel like there is a real fucked up moral compass going on with that. And I don't like that that's what we're supposed to like. We're rooting for Sherlock, right? And that's what Sherlock is doing. And this is like, no.
I think it would have been more interesting to me personally if Sherlock didn't forgive Eros for any of that bullshit and confronted her. It's like, you can't do that. And like, morally, you cannot do that. Like, you shouldn't do that. Her, like,
Yeah, Mycroft said, like,
cowering.
we can't let her out because she'll do it again. It's like in this very calm, measured, whatever. It's like there's no
Gravitas.
right.
And so I think
Bottom.
that it would be interesting for him to be like, I don't forgive you for what you did. That is not okay.
I'm not
But
going to go visit you and play violin together, okay?
I think it's okay for him to play violin just to try to bring her out of her shell a little bit, just so that she doesn't have a completely awful ending. Because again, with sharing first, like,
I'm okay with it. She can rot for me. That's fine.
she
I'm
did kill
okay.
a child. So, I mean,
She killed a bunch of people,
she did kill a bunch of people.
including a child.
Including a
So
child, so
yeah, no, it's not okay. What grade did you give this episode?
I gave it an A minus. I think it's a B or B plus.
I gave it a B minus.
I
And
think I give it a B.
it's a B minus for me for all the reasons that we said. I mean, I feel like there is it's just too whitewashed for me. But in any case, I'm not trying to suggest that Sherlock isn't worth seeing. I just feel like this last season, because they were trying to like kind of blow it out, like let's just go to every extreme, that we kind of lost the humanity in the process. And I think they were trying not to, like they're trying to prove that Sherlock is the most human of them, but in the process, we still lost a good chunk of the humanity that makes murder investigations worthwhile. You know what I mean?
Like the
So,
justice,
yeah,
yeah.
the justice part of it. We care about justice. I care about justice. It's the thing. So how do you rank the seasons for this?
Oh, this is easy. Easy. I'd say season three is number one. Season two is number two. Season one, and then season four.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I
It's
think
not that hard.
it's really not.
And to be fair, I think that season four had some interesting ideas with the general ideas of the episodes, like the first episode being about Agra. I think that's a good idea. Mary dying and creating conflict, I think was fine. It's a shame, but I think it led to some great character interactions in the second episode, which had a great idea about the serial killer stuff. If they had left out, if they had just changed it and not had the Euro stuff at all, I would have liked the season much better. If it was just an escaped mental patient, that would have been fine with me, who
If it
like
was
wanted,
Moriarty.
if it wasn't Euros in general, if she just wanted to make Sherlock's life a living hell to punish Mycroft, I think would have been an interesting idea. If it was just a mental patient who helped them, had the deduction thing to the max, had all of these ideas, have being able to predict terrorist attacks and stuff like that, I think that would be very interesting. And her being much like Moriarty, just being like, I don't fucking like you. You're kind of fucking with my plans. I kind of want to make my. And it's interesting because Charles Augustus Magnuson, I hate how I have to say his whole name, but he already pointed out that Sherlock is Mycroft's pain point. And so for her to have that information, to have Moriarty's information about Sherlock, and then using all of this to her advantage to create the perfect, like, awful situation for all of the people involved, I think would have been more interesting. And it not being about Redbeard, I don't care about Redbeard. I wish that that was never a thing. I don't really like the whole it even like the traces of it in season three are my like least favorite things of just like you remember Redbeard and then Sherlock being like, I'm not a child anymore. It's like I don't care. I don't care. Especially when it was a dog. I'm just like, okay, let's not like not that I want dogs to die. It's just kind of like, why are we bringing this up? And so, especially since Mycroft seems so against Sherlock remembering Euros in general, I don't know why he keeps bringing up Redbeard.
And the thing about Redbeard too is like, when you believe it's a dog, it's like dogs have shorter lifespans than humans. You know that people have lost.
Doesn't mean throwing in a well, but
Right,
still.
exactly. And what, you remember Redbeard's like, oh, I lost my dog. Like it could be any one of us.
Lost
I
my
mean,
dog.
right. I mean, all of us have an emotional attachment to pets, honestly, but
Why is it like
it
that?
is not the same as killing your best friend.
That is absolute horseshit.
Yes. So I just feel like season four was, it had some interesting ideas, some interesting performances. I just don't feel like it gelled in the way that they would have hoped.
Yeah, and
So
again, if Eurus was just a mental patient who didn't have any connection to Sherlock but wanted to get to him to get to Mycroft, I think would have been made a lot more sense because Mycroft is kind of in charge of Sharingford in a way.
but I think that the reason they didn't do that is that that's been done in this series. So they wanted to do something different and personal and family and blah, blah, blah. But I just didn't like it. So there we go. But we are. I'm excited. We're going to be doing Agent Carter. And I
I
literally,
have not watched this in years, so
I
I'm excited.
haven't either. And one of the things that is a completely different thing for us because we haven't done really, the action things we've done have been Game of Thrones, like very serious drama, blah, blah, blah. We've not done like a Marvel cartoony kind of.
Yeah, it really is. And it's funny because here's my experience with Agent Carter. We watched it live because, first of all, we are a Captain America lover family.
Hell yeah.
We absolutely love Captain America in this
Yep.
household. And
There is
so,
one God, and he doesn't look like
it doesn't look like that.
that.
We absolutely love Captain America. All of the Captain America movies are great. We have not seen the new one. I'm
No.
sorry. But,
Right. I mean, and the thing about the new one, I'm just, and it's got nothing to do with anybody, stepping into the shoes of
that was more the Falcon and the Winter Soldier series, which we did watch, which was
Yeah,
more
I like.
tailored to that arc, which I feel like is an odd choice. And you could have just done a movie about it, but sure, that's
Whatever.
fine.
I'm hesitant about this new one, and we'll see.
Yeah, but we love Peggy Carter in
Oh
this
my God.
household. The very little that you see in the first two Captain America movies, first of all, I love Hayley Atwell. Shout out
Yes.
to her and Tom
She's so good.
Hiddleston doing Much Ado About Nothing, but like a
So
disco
good.
version. Love that
Yeah.
for them.
Yes.
That's great for them. I'm so excited.
It's exciting.
Apparently, and I watched like a review or something about the show, and they make a Marvel reference in it. It's funny.
Oh, do they? How
Isn't
cute.
that funny? They're both
That's
in the
so
Marvel Cinematic Universe, but they
yes.
never interacted. That's so funny to me.
That's adorable.
Anyway, I really love, and a lot of people have an issue with like the ending of Endgame and him going back for Peggy, but I'm like, no, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
No, this is a guy who has a very firm moral compass.
Attachment.
Well, and firm moral compass. I mean,
Yeah.
he this
He
is what
always
he,
loved her.
yes, and he always wanted to have that American dream of, family and just all
And
I
I love that we've seen it from Steve's perspective, but now we get to see the
from him.
part that we actually want to see of Peggy. And we also find out in, it's the second, the Winter Soldier. I love Winter Soldier. It's probably my
Me too.
favorite Captain America movie.
I love Captain America
Me
too.
too. Anyway, but and we're gonna, this is a new kind of geek that we haven't been able to geek about, because we're not doing all the Marvel movies. That would be absolute like hell.
Yeah,
But
it would.
with this, we get to see the period of time. Sorry, I was back on track. In Winter Soldier, we find out that Peggy was one of the founders of SHIELD, which is very cool, and we love to see it. Girl power. And so she, her, that very integral part of her character is right after Steve goes into the ice, and she is trying to figure things out after his death. To
Where
her, at
she
least.
fits in the world too, and it's after the war.
Where she fits in the world as a woman, as a person who loves that man who just died, as an agent with SHIELD, and like establishing just a new world order, really, in her life, and her dealing with all of that, along with like all the misogyny and like all that stuff. It's a very pivotal part of her character arc that we miss in the movies, but I'm glad they filled in a little bit.
Yeah.
We get to see two seasons of it,
Her
which
clothes are fucking amazing.
also, I love period pieces. We all know this. It's going to be fantastic. It's an awesome time for fashion.
Things you may have forgotten as well is the second season of Broadchurch has what's his face, the butler. Oh my God, I'm gonna
Jarvis?
Jarvis in it.
Oh, love him.
Yeah,
Love him.
he's like
This
back.
Jarvis, love him so much. It's funny because my roommate, she hadn't seen Agent Carter. Also, our relationship with Agent Carter is that we watched it live because we love Peggy and we wanted to see it, and we were so curious. This was in our like once upon a time era where we were watching a lot of live TV, like as you did before this whole on-demand thing. We're old, but we were watching it live. We really loved it for various reasons. I can't really remember a ton of it. I remember very, very particular bits. And then once Disney Plus came out, that was when I rewatched it because I didn't realize that they were going to have Agent Carter on there, and I hadn't seen it since it came out, and I rewatched it, and I remember enjoying it. but I haven't seen it in like at least 4 or 5 years.
I think it's been longer for me. So if
Yeah, I don't think you rewatched it when I rewatched it.
I don't think I did.
I don't remember a ton, but recently my roommate watched it without me. And which is fine because I'm rewatching it for the podcast, so it doesn't matter. I'll get a little bit more of a raw reaction for myself. And that's a weird way of putting it. But she watched it and she really enjoyed, especially Jarvis. She really enjoyed Jarvis. There were a few things that she had to say about like the structure of it, and I'm sure we'll talk about it when we do talk cover it, and I'm really excited for it. I like that we're getting to geek out about Marvel and Hayley Atwell because we love Marvel and Hayley Atwell.
Yes. Yes. So
She's
we're
fantastic.
this is going to be super fun. We hope that you join us. And
Cheers.
Cheers.